Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. I invite you to join the OU Women's Initiative this Motzai Shabbos, September 17th, for Slichot Night of Inspiration with Michal Horowitz and Razi Chechik. The video presentation can be watched on demand at ou.org/women/yr22. Wishing each of you and your family a Ksiva v'chasima tova, a year filled with health, happiness, and holiness. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, chapter 27. In the last perek, Yirmiyahu delivered a nevuah that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed like Shiloh. The Kohanim, the false Nevi'im, and the nation who were in the Beis HaMikdash did not like this message and tried to kill him. The officers of Yehoyakim argued that there was a precedent not to kill Nevi'im delivering negative nevuos. The Kohanim countered with a precedent of their own that they could kill Nevi'im. Achikam ben Shafan intervened when the mob attacked and brought Yirmiyahu to safety. This parak begins with similar words to the last parak. It begins, Bereishis Mamlechas Yehoyakim, in the beginning of the reign of Yehoyakim. In this first year of Yehoyakim, Yirmiyahu gets a nevuah, which is meant to be addressed to Tzidkiyahu, the king. Yirmiyahu was told to send a yoke to Tzidkiyahu and to other kings in the region to warn them to submit to Nebuchadnezzar and not to rebel. Tzidkiyahu seemingly doesn't rule for another 11 years after this perek, and Nebuchadnezzar doesn't rule for another 3 years. In addition, this perek mentions a number of kings talking to Tzidkiyahu. In Melachim Beis, we heard about these kings when they sent a message to Tzidkiyahu in the fourth year of his reign. Rashi says that indeed, Yirmiyahu wore a yoke around his neck for 15 years as a visual reminder that all the nations should not rebel. The Radak says that this parak was said to Yirmiyahu in the first year of Yehoyakim and was only shared with Yehoyakim, though he would know that Nebuchadnezzar was going to rule the world and he shouldn't depend too heavily on Paro. The dramatic action in the parak was only done in the fourth year of Tzidkiyahu, according to the Radak. In that year, all the kings in the region will send Tzidkiyahu messages trying to get him to rebel. The Malbim says that Tzidkiyahu was actually an important figure during Yehoyakim's reign. Nebuchadnezzar appointed Tzidkiyahu as his proxy over the other kings in the region to enforce loyalty to Bavel in Yehoyakim's fourth year. The regional kings did not like this role and tried to convince Tzidkiyahu to rebel from Yehoyakim's fourth year through Tzidkiyahu's fourth year. Tzidkiyahu needed to be strengthened so that he would not be swayed by the campaigning of the other kings. Verse 2. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, Selecha moseros umotos, unisatam al tzavarecha. Make for yourselves straps and bars and put them on your neck. These straps and bars are the harnesses used to attach a yoke to an animal. The Das Sofrim says it is unclear whether Yirmiyahu wore this yoke all the time, only when delivering nevuos, or periodically. Yirmiyahu was also then told to send the straps and the bars to the kings of Edom, Melech Moab, Ammon, Tsur, and Sidon, where all the primary nations that surround Israel, via their emissaries who were visiting Yerushalayim, and also that he should send them to Tzidkiyahu. These messengers would take the nevuah back to their kingdoms. The message reiterated that Hashem has made the whole world, verse 5. Anochi asisi es ha'aretz, es ha'adam ves ha'behema asher al pnei ha'aretz. I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the face of the earth. Hashem made the world and continues to manage it daily. If that is the case, unasatiha l'asher yashar ve'enai, Hashem can give the power over this world to the one who is correct in his eyes. Hashem is now choosing to give the power over all the political countries to Nebuchadnezzar, who is the king of Bavel, who the Pasuk calls is Avdi, my servant. Hashem calls Moshe his servant and calls David his servant. How is Nebuchadnezzar Hashem's servant? Nebuchadnezzar is Hashem's servant in the sense that he is fulfilling the mission of Hashem. Chazal say that when Klal Yisrael needs to be subjugated or exiled, Hashem has rachmanis, pity for them, and only gives them into the hands of a powerful king so the people wouldn't be mocked for being weak. For this reason, Nebuchadnezzar needs to conquer all the kings in the region, since he will be the tool to punish and exile the Jewish people. Hashem is giving Nebuchadnezzar power over people, as well as over the animals of the field. He uses animals, such as wild dogs and elephants, as part of his military operations. Chazal say that Nebuchadnezzar had a unique power over animals. He would ride on a lion with a snake tied to his head. This was a sign that his power was divinely ordained. Nebuchadnezzar, his son Evil-Merodach, and his grandson Belshazzar would reign over the region until Hashem decreed it was time for Babel to be destroyed, just like Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed other lands. Verse 7. Vavduvo goyim rabim umlachim gedolim. Then many nations and great kings shall make him their slave. The rise and fall of Nebuchadnezzar and his people was orchestrated for a purpose, and everyone needs to play their part in the unfolding of history. Those that do not, those nations or regions that do not submit themselves to Nebuchadnezzar, verse 8, Bacherev uvara'av uvadever efkod al goy hahu. That nation I will visit with a sword, with famine, and with disease. These three things are often mentioned together throughout Yirmiyahu as a punishment that's taking place at this time. Ad to me osam biado, until I have consumed them by his hand. The Malbim points out that there were some large kingdoms that did not get taken over by Babel, but any small countries who were less powerful either needed to be subservient to Babel, or they had to be a vassal state to another large country to protect them from Nebuchadnezzar. Yirmiyahu then warns Yehuda and the other nations that they need to take Yirmiyahu's nevuah seriously. Verse 9, Al tashmu el nevi'echem, don't listen to your false prophets, vel kosmechem, or to your diviners who use magic and oracles, vel chalamosechem, or to those who make predictions from dreams, el onenechem, to those who do a kind of magic and sorcery, the el kashafechem, and to your sorcerers who do all other kinds of sorcery, who will tell you that you will not serve the king of Babel. All the spiritual leaders in all the countries were unanimous in that no one should submit to Nebuchadnezzar. They are false, they are not messengers of Hashem. If the people protest and fight against Nebuchadnezzar, they will be exiled and subject to disease and death. If they accept the rule of Nebuchadnezzar, they will be able to stay in their land. They will be able to plow and to plant. They may get taxed heavily, but they will survive. After Yirmiyahu finishes addressing the other nations, Yirmiyahu repeats what his message is to Tzidkiyahu. His message is going to be different, as the goal of Galus for Yehuda is different than the goals of the nations who are only being subjugated on behalf of Yehuda. Yirmiyahu says to Tzidkiyahu, verse 12, Haviu es savarechem b'ol melech Bavel, vivdu oso v'amo v'chiyu. Bring your neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. The other nations should not look to Tzidkiyahu to protect them or to make alliances, as Yehuda also needs to submit. Yirmiyahu wants to know why they insist on rebelling. Verse 13. Lama samusu ata v'amecha. Why do you need to die, you and your nation? Bacherev bara'av uvadaver. By the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. In battle, because there's going to be a siege and then the disease that comes from that siege. When Yehuda does mitzvos, they are above nature, and Hashem deals with them with special hashkacha, with special providence. When they sin, they receive the same consequences as all the other nations. Since Hashem has promised a violent end to the nations that don't serve Nebuchadnezzar, Yehuda is no exception, and he too will face a violent end. Just like the other nations have soothsayers and false prophets, Yehuda have the same characters who are reassuring Tzidkiyahu and his officers of the same lies, that Babel will never conquer them. Yirmiyahu now turns to the people in Yehuda, to the Kohanim, and the nation who are being persuaded by the false prophets. The galus of Yehoyachin not only brought the leadership to Babel, the costume also looted the Beis HaMikdash of its beautiful, valuable vessels, which was a blow to the national pride. The false prophets are saying, verse 16, Hinei chlei veis Hashem mushavim mibavela ata mehera. Behold, the vessels of Hashem's house will now be brought back from Babylon quickly. What they are saying won't happen. Ki sheker heman nibim lachem, because they are prophesying a lie to you. Yirmiyahu keeps warning the people, but they do not listen to him. He says, verse 17, Ivdu es melech Babel v'chiyu, serve the king of Babel and you will live. Lama siha ir hazos charba. Why does this city need to become desolate? As long as they don't submit to Babel, they are asking for war and asking for death. The Nevi'im have a stronghold on the hearts and minds of the Jewish people. Yirmiyahu gives the people a test so they can check if their Nevi'im are legitimate. Verse 18, Vim Nevi'im heim, vim yesh dvar Hashem itam. If they are legitimate Nevi'im, and if the word of Hashem is truly with them, if they are holy enough to be Nevi'im, they should have power and connections to Hashem. Yifgu'una, let them daven. A Navi who is holy can daven on behalf of the nation. Right now, there are still vessels left in the Beis HaMikdash and valuables left in the palaces. The Nevi'im should daven that these palaces don't get plundered with all the valuables then going to Babel. These false Nevi'im are telling the people that they are going to get their vessels back from Babel. The true message is that all their wealth will soon be confiscated. These Nevi'im should intercede with Hashem on behalf of the nation, as that is the role of a true Navi and leader. Yirmiyahu tells them that anything of value left in the Beis HaMikdash, Bavel Yuva'u, is being carried to Bavel, and there it will remain. Yirmiyahu is talking about the copper pillars and the copper basins and the rest of the vessels that remain in the city. Some of these items were bolted into the ground, and the whole Beis HaMikdash needed to be destroyed and demolished to get to these valuable items. All of these things will be taken away until the time of Koresh. In the time of Koresh, who rules after Bavel, Yehuda will be given permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Koresh will send the people back with some of these vessels to help rebuild it. Valisim vashivosim el hamakom hazeh, and I will bring them up and restore them to this place. Hashem will be involved in the next step after Galus Bavel, when he restores the Jewish people and their precious items used to serve Hashem to Yerushalayim. In this parak, Yirmiyahu has a message for the nations in the region. He takes a yoke and puts it on his neck to tell the nations, as well as Yehuda, that they should accept the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. If they protest, they will be exiled or annihilated. If they accept Nebuchadnezzar, they will lose their freedom, but at least they will live. The parak ends with the nevuah that the precious items in the Beis HaMikdash will be plundered, but will return at the time of Koresh. There is an important lesson we can learn from this parak. Nebuchadnezzar was a nobody, but Hashem needed someone to punish Klal Yisrael to atone for their sins. The whole world was turned upside down so that Klal Yisrael could receive the exact atonement they needed to return to Israel. Hashem gave Nebuchadnezzar the power to ride on a lion so that the nation destroying the Beis HaMikdash was respectable. When we read the news or read history, we should read it with the lens of this parak. Everything that happens in the world in any year was decreed on Rosh Hashanah by Hashem. Everything that happens has a purpose. Every world event and political leader is there to advance the world to the place it needs to go to bring about the Geula. When we have this understanding, it allows us to rely on Hashem and recognize that He is the power behind every throne. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas, Alexander Sender.